irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to All About Guitar with Jeff Lolo, only on LA Talk Radio.
Amazing instrument. It has developed into an incredible voice in today's music. So many types of guitars, so many styles of playing, all sorts of gear. How does one make their voice be heard as a guitarist? My name is Jeff Floro, and welcome to All About Guitar, where we talk tone, we talk technique, we talk gear. Where we discover how we can become better musicians in a world of constantly changing technologies. Where we take a good look at everything guitar. And sometimes not exactly guitar, but just as important. So we can be more successful as a musician in today's music scene. So sit back and relax, and let's explore All About Guitar. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to All About Guitar. We have a great show for you tonight. I'm really excited to have my guests tonight because they are great musicians, and the music that I, when I was working on this week and going through the stuff, it's really some very... It's hard to describe it, but it's very interesting what they're doing, both recording wise and both content in terms of the songs. My guests are the band. The official name is Little Days, but it consists of Minnie Carlson, but your name
Minnie Diaz,
and Jorgen Carlson. I'm saying that right.
Close.
And is it Jorgen or Jorgen?
Yeah. Jorgen.
Jorgen. Okay,
yeah.
I'll get it.
But it doesn't matter.
And we have a special guest who's been on the show before, and actually Minnie was with him on when he was on, Toshi Yanagi. Toshi, it's great to have you on. And anyway, this band, just some of the stuff that they do, there's all sorts of influences and in the arrangements, very clever, and they do a lot of cool stuff. And we're going to talk a little bit about... it's definitely an album, a recorded album in terms of the technique and recording and the stuff that they do is amazing. But besides that, great songs and stuff. And we're going to also have them play live. Actually, I'm going to have you guys play live in a second. But anyway, I just want to welcome Minnie, Jorgen, and Hitoshi. It's great to have you guys here.
Thanks for having us.
So, and then Lori, of course.
Yes.
I'm not going to forget Lori. Anyway, the... let's go ahead and have you guys play, because I think that's the best way to kind of define, and then we'll get a little more into what you guys are about.
Okay. All right, this one we're going to do, it's called Shine.
Remember when our laughter changed.
still lives. The fire remains. Breathe, just breathe. All the shine in your eyes and the glow still shows.
And I also want everybody notice what's going on. I love the lines that you play on the bass. It's just great. It's great to hear a melodic bass going. And then the counterpoint. Now you're playing pretty. You're not moving around as much. You're not as moving around on this song, but on some of the other cuts that we're going to listen to, you can hear the interplay. There's a lot of counterpoint going on. But first of all, let's talk a little bit about Minnie and Jorgen, your backgrounds and the influences, and then a little bit about the concept behind the band.
Okay.
Both of you.
You want to start?
Well, my influences are like Olivia Newton-John, ABBA, and then on the other side is more like Fleetwood Mac. When I was a kid, first time I heard Olivia Newton-John sing, I was just totally drawn into her voice, and I that's what drove me to sing. And then when I was about 6 years old, I remember the first time I ever saw a guitar, it was like that's all I focused on in the room. It was like, oh, that's what I want to play, and then my parents thought. You know, they were big Lawrence Welk fans. So they got me an accordion instead. So I played that.
I can relate.
I played that for a little while. And then one time I didn't go over my lesson. And it was my turn to play in the half circle. And the teacher just, got mad at me. And I just started crying. And I walked up to my dad. And I go, I don't want to play anymore. And so that was it. I never played the accordion again. And then I finally, got a guitar, but I had to. I saved money by taking my lunch money from school, and I would put it under my mattress, and then my mom went to flip the mattress, and then she saw all these coins, and so she helped me with the rest of the money, and I ended up getting the guitar that I still have now, which is an acoustic Yamaha FG200. So
you also have a very cool Tele.
Yes, and thanks to these two, when I turned 50, these fine gentlemen snuck around and.
That was all Toshi.
No, that's interesting because a lot of people, you know, Olivia Newton-John was very, popular, and it was more pop and stuff, and they would dismiss that. But she's actually a great singer, and
yeah.
She really knows how to phrase. Her phrasing is uncanny as a vocalist.
Yeah, and control the tone, beautiful tone.
But it's interesting. You're talking about these very pop influences, but I've also heard you play in Toshi's band, the Buzz Wizards, and this stuff, and it's very progressive. So it's interesting from a pop influence you went.
Yeah.
Well, you had a big thing with yes.
Yeah, I was also a prog person, totally listened to progressive, but that was later in high school, Rush, Yes, and and Journey, a lot of Journey, but they weren't that prog. Sort of.
Genesis.
Genesis. Genesis. Yes. Yes.
There's my bands.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's interesting because you can hear the influences, and we'll play some in a minute. Jorgen, tell us about you.
A little different, but not too far. First band was Kiss for a while, from since I can remember, 76, 75 maybe. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
75.
And yeah, that kept going for quite a while until I heard, I think it was Ozzy, and the whole Sabbath thing, went into Ronnie James Dio, and that stayed for a while. And I guess Pink Floyd was the deal breaker that changed everything for me. And that's a lot of progressive stuff there too, but also sonically it was a big thing. And through that, I guess, Pink Floyd, David Gilmour's solo record produced by Bob Ezrin, Jeff Porcaro played on that, and through that I went into Toto and listened to some of that stuff, and that opened up the whole California scene in the 70s, 80s. And, yeah.
Well, it's interesting because of your melodic style of bass playing. I'm trying to figure out where you got that, because you really do some interest. I mean, some of the things you just played on the song when you were going up and, you know, those kind of...
Yeah, I never really listened to a bass player, you know, other than Jacopo Astorius, obviously, and the obvious ones, Willie and Mike Porcaro, great bass player. There's so many, I don't know. But I've listened mostly to drummers and singers.
Mm-hmm.
So, ABBA, a lot of great melodies.
Yeah, so you actually are using... Your influence in playing the bass is from the melodies and the vocals.
I can't sing to save my life, so I try to do it on the bass. Or,
well, it's interesting because it's a very distinct thing, and it really it makes it unique. It's what makes, I think, the cuts that I've heard. Well, let me just play one right now. This is interesting because listen very carefully. Those that are on Facebook Live, I know the feed is mono. But later on, go down and download the audio file because I have this in stereo. You got to listen what Toshi's doing with the guitar. There's these little bits. It looks like glitches. It sounds like it's sampled.
It's a glitches.
They're glitches.
It's a glitch pedal, actually.
A glitch pedal?
Yeah.
Because there's like these little snippets of guitar, and then he'll do like time delays, and he'll play around with it. And it's really creative. I mean, it's like, you know, listening to an engineer, it's like, that's cool. That's really cool. And then also, too, what's really nice in the bass, what you're playing in the bass, you mix the regular bass, and then you go to the Taurus bass pedals. And the way that mixes together, it's kind of cool. It's kind of...
Yeah, it's tricky. There could be a lot of facing with the Taurus going underneath, but if you spread it out in stereo image, you can get away with it.
Yeah. So let me go ahead and play this clip. It's called... All Out of You, if I'm correct. Here we go.
Cold winter.
that's just those little bass lick. I mean, this is for all my friends that are bass players going to love this show because there's just cool stuff in there, and the way you integrate that is just amazing.
Well, we used to call it a think piece because it took some thinking to get it all sounding natural. It was a lot of trial and error on that one.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you? I noticed that we have music here. Do you write everything out, or you just do it?
No.
Well, I have to remember the songs. I have to write.
You write it out just so
yeah,
you
for, the, for myself, out. You know, for the gigs and stuff.
Yeah.
So but it's all, you know, came up as it
on
goes,
the spot.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, this one, Toshi recorded the majority of the guitars at his place. Mm-hmm. That's where you get all the cool shit because it's not under my pressure.
It's true.
That glitch pedal is cool.
I can do it by feet, my foot. You know, I can do it live too. So come on Wednesday.
Come Wednesday to Big Potato.
No, it's great. Now what you're doing in there is just really, and what kind of caught me by surprise. Now I played the clip, there's a whole first verse before that. Mm-hmm. And so I was trying to get all of the guitar parts. So I cut it and put it, started it at that second verse. But what's really cool is you do this whole thing. You do the verse, and when you go to the chorus, there's no drums.
Right.
And I'm like, for a minute, I'm like...
Speaking of drums, Tos Panos, incredible.
Mm-hmm.
That was Meany's idea to have the broken up part, and then Tos did the rest. And
yeah, because it comes in the next chorus,
yeah,
and it's really cool.
Yeah.
But it's a great surprise, because you're like, you know, because you expect that, and it didn't happen. It's like, and then when it comes in, it's much more rewarding. I thought that was really cool. It's a good surprise.
Hey, Manny.
Like, where's that drums at? Where are the drums? But
such a rebel. Out of the box thinker.
Now let me play another clip. This one's interesting. It's called Before I Learn, and this has some more interesting stuff from Toshi. I was talking a little bit. I'll play the clip and I'll let him describe what he's doing there. What's also very cool about this one, you have trumpet and brass in it, and it's interesting because you do a lot of doubling. I've noticed in the music a lot of lines, whether it's with guitar and bass or bass and brass, you're doing a lot of stuff together, which is it's an interesting texture, brass with the bass doing the same line, as opposed, you know, orchestrally you might have a tuba or you might have a trombone, but with the bass it's an interesting blend, and the way you mix it, besides the fact your tone. Now, this song and the one you just played, All Out of You, is that bass?
I can't remember what bass I used on that, to be honest. Maybe the Jack Cassidy.
Oh, okay.
Most likely the Jack Cassidy, which is
And you use this little Fender Champ, right?
It's a Fender Pro Junior.
Pro Junior.
80%, 90% of the bass goes through this, and there's a certain way to mic it from the back and the front at the same time. And then...
You don't take direct two to get...
Occasionally.
Okay. Because that was interesting in that last one, All Out of You, the tone of the bass is very close to the Taurus. It's very close. Then you open the filter and then you get the wham.
Yeah, I try to match them a little bit, but it just comes out that way. I don't know
why. But that was when you did that bass, that was just the amp. You didn't use direct to get that depth because it's pretty deep.
Mm-mm. No DI.
No DI. That's just that little... I'm amazed that that little speaker can put out that.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, when he puts the microphones in the back and in the front, and then he flips the phase, and it becomes a huge sound.
That's so interesting.
Yeah.
No, I'm trying to figure out the physics. You know, there's a reason why some guys use 18-inch speakers on the bass or you know, the 12s. There is a difference, and it's amazing that you get that tone. It's deep.
Yeah, but deep doesn't mean it has to go down to 50 hertz or 40. You know, you can have a lot of 120 or 250, and it feels like it's dense.
Well, I'm feeling it.
Yeah,
that's the difference.
But
I mean,
that's what you feel, the 150. It's dense as mayonnaise. You know, that's the whole thing. And you can actually see on the sound wave in a digital format that it's really thick, as opposed to poorly recorded signal, like a shark thing.
Now, real quick before we... play the other clip. When you play live, what do you use amp wise?
It's a Marshall Major, like a guitar amp, 200 watt Marshall.
A 200 watt, but you use a guitar amp.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
So, and then what cabinet? Like a 4x12 or more than that?
Yeah, an extended 412.
Extended 412.
Yeah.
That's pretty full. Because I heard, is that what you used with the...
Government Mule?
No, Buzz Wizards.
Yeah. Yes.
That was
yes.
the one that went yeah. at the yeah. Big Potato.
And with bigger bands, like on bigger stages, I mean, then it's the same thing, but twice. So.
Oh, okay. So like with Government Mule, you'll use two of them or mm-hmm. something like that?
Yeah. Eight tens, eight twelves.
200-watt head, right?
Yeah. Well, I've been messing around a little bit. There's a 260-watt head uh-huh. Homestead now.
So you're using eight tens?
Eight twelves.
Eight twelves. Oh, yeah. Okay. Eight twelves with that. And that, yeah. That
it took some time to get there, but it's the response is different. The bass amp is so thubby and weird. You know, you have to play them really loud for them to react like a guitar amp.
Right. Well, also, too, how do you like the... Well, with the Marshalls, you're using closed back. Does that tighten it up a little bit for you?
Yes, and too much with 10s, so 12s are perfect.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Because, yeah, that has the closed back is a big difference. That does make a difference. So, all right, let me go ahead and play this before I learn. And take a listen. And some great guitar stuff on this. And all of these clips, it's a given. There's just some great bass stuff here, but... This is an interesting thing with some of the stuff that he's doing. And the trumpet and the brass section are just killer. Here you go.
First time I heard that.
No, I had talked before the show. I asked Toshi. I'm going to ask him again on the air. That pedal. Mm-hmm. That's a great octave pedal.
The same technique I use on my album. It's BB plus on the left side, and yeah, that octave. Is it ultimate octave pedal? Mm-hmm. That's it. Same technique.
That one is. You were telling me. I mean. Look at my notes here. It was made by Fulton.
Fulton, yes.
Is it out yet, or because you said it was a prototype?
Yeah, but it's already out and discontinued.
It's out and discontinued. It's been here and gone.
It's a special item.
You can find it online though.
So it's a great sound.
Oh, thank you.
Now, what were you doing? It gets huge. that mix gets huge. And it sounds great because you can hear everything going on, mm-hmm. but there's guitar stuff going on. So in the brass thing and the big climactic part of the, I guess that's the chorus, because it kind of goes into different sections. The are you doing a distorted guitar or a clean guitar in there?
Crunch, I think. Is that the one that I played a weird guitar?
No.
No?
No, this one was just Les Paul, I think.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay.
With a...
Right.
Just delays and
yeah.
a lot of top end.
Yeah. And you put the reverb, right? Did you?
Some of it, but you recorded with delays, I think.
Okay.
So you set your own delays on it. Yeah. And then you're doing some other stuff that sounds, in the background, when she's singing, it sounds clean. It's like clean, kind of semi-clean.
Okay.
No?
Yes.
Yes, no?
Yeah.
No. That's the D50, the bell sounds you hear. All those sounds.
No. That's, the keyboard. But, I mean, there's a guitar, like some strums in there.
Oh, that's meaning playing acoustic.
Ah.
Mm.
Yeah.
So what did you use?
The Yamaha.
The Yamaha?
Yeah.
Your original Yamaha. They're great guitars.
Mm-hmm.
They work. They work for recording.
Yeah.
And then what did you use for the bass?
That's not me playing bass.
That's not you.
That's Will Lee playing bass.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
What was he using? Do you remember?
He played jazz bass.
A jazz bass?
Yeah.
Because that's interesting. And then there's that one line, where there's one point where he just starts going. He does this like really great.
Well, he plays through the Pro Junior. I don't know if he was too impressed with that. So I ran a DI for him just to make him feel relaxed.
But did you end up using just the Pro Junior?
I can't remember. I think I reamped it. I wasn't happy with the tone. But I play 8-string bass in the bridge harmony on his part because I thought...
We have to do that.
We have to play together. And then I added the Taurus bass, and also I went and recorded piano bass, mm-hmm. like Bob Ezrin. Just you hit it kind of hard, but you mix it far in the back. So
the piano, yeah.
Like on Kiss Destroyer, you hear it on Detroit Rock City. Doom. That's all piano bass in the back. That's the way it sounds. So
is that the Fender piano bass, or is that a synth or?
No, a real upright piano.
Oh, yeah. Just regular piano, because there's the little Fender.
And that's what creates that bigness in the back. You can't tell what it is. It's just something.
Yeah, it's huge. But it gets really big, and then the brass. Now, who did the arrangements for the brass?
Well, Willie came up with that part in the bridge where he started the song. Boom, 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 that thing. And then I doubled that with the D50 bells, which I've used on every song on this record. I filter them a little different, but I had this idea that that should be on every song, except maybe one.
More cowbell.
Yeah. But it sounds cool. You filter them through some Pulsic filters, and it sounds really unique and cool.
Yeah, it's a nice keyboard song.
So, and then Bill Churchville came in, and we came up with the arrangement just sitting there. I threw out some ideas, and he was like, how about this? Yeah, and then let's harmonize that, and let's do this, and it's just how it happens.
So is that all trumpet, or did you bring in other players?
All trumpets, but I use a harmonizer underneath to create that tone.
Oh, okay, because it gets deep.
Yeah, an H3000 Eventide.
And it gets it's a massive sound. Now, who mixed that?
I did.
Okay, so how did you get it to that clear so you can hear all the parts?
Carefully.
Spend a couple of days on each mix, sometimes 3 days,
mm-hmm.
and mix it through an analog console to 1/4-inch tape.
Okay, so you
and we record everything to 2-inch tape.
You record analog.
The basic tracking, and then guitar overdubs and vocal overdubs gets recorded digitally, but then transferred back to tape. And
So everything's mixed on tape, so you have the tape
have that.
Saturation.
Mm-hmm.
That's the name of the game. If it wasn't for that, I wouldn't bother. I'd just do something else.
It's interesting because it doesn't, I mean, it does make it punchier. There is a little compression with tape.
I think it's familiarity for us, our generation. Mm-hmm. The next generation is just going to think it's noisy and sound annoying. Probably. I don't know.
Well, if we can find good tape, it's hard to get tape anymore.
Yeah, it's getting better. It's coming back. So,
but how do you approach the mix in terms? What do you start with? You start with the rhythm track and then build from there, or do you just?
It depends on what kind of song. It's okay. More like a feeling of a vision. Not like you can't put it into words. It's just a feeling, and you're trying to reach for that. It's like you're playing a show. Same thing. Mm-hmm.
Well, with this one, Willie, Matt Apps, and Torbjorn Anderson, he played the CP70, and they played live together on this one, and then everything was overdubbed after that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So those were the basic tracks.
No, it's interesting because the approach, it's very difficult to get that much. There's a lot of instrumentation on that song, plus your vocals, and there's some backgrounds, I think.
No, there's no
this
background.
This one does not have any background vocals.
There's something going on in the background behind.
Well, there's like, you know, I guess you can call that a background vocal part, but it's not like harmonized.
No, that's more
parts.
Like Pat Metheny stuff.
Yeah, there's stuff back there.
There's that, yeah.
There's stuff. I don't know how to describe it.
But not
any
with
way.
The vocal. Not
it's
with the
ambient.
Vocal.
It's kind
yes,
of ambient.
Ambient.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Feel to
yeah.
it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a tough mix. That's really tough. I mean, to get all that clear, because I can hear all of it. You can hear everything.
Yeah. But it's always like something is too low in the mix or something is too loud. I could go back and remix it for years, I think. You just have to abandon it at some point.
Yeah. Well, no. I could... It's your baby, I can tell. You always want to kind of massage it, get it there, get it perfect. But it sounds good.
Thank you.
You don't need to do any more. It's pretty good by the way it is. But let's talk a little bit about the concept of the band a little bit to get an idea. I want to see if you can define it.
You're going to have to ask them for their meeting background then.
Yes.
Yeah.
It all started.
Well, I went to the Grove School of Music to learn how to record, because I was always waiting for people to, you know, have free time in their studio to record my songs. Mm-hmm. And then I thought, okay, I'm going to just learn how to do it. And so I went there, I graduated, then they hired me, and I was a supervisor for the engineering students and made sure they didn't blow up the speakers and then there was a class and it was play downs and it was for vocals and Jürgen was as a bass student. He showed up and I saw him on the other side of the glass and I'm like, who's this? And we would flirt in the hallways and then I asked him out. And
so that's how you remember it.
That's how I remember it.
And what did he say?
Well, I go, would you like to have some coffee with me sometime? And then he grabbed my hand and he said, I would love to. And that's when I said, okay, to myself, like, this, okay, you don't find people like that. So I was, like, taken right away.
How many years ago?
26 years ago.
I met you right after that then?
A few years. It was a few years.
I remember. I met you guys about 94?
No, 98.
98?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. He's done.
So, but anyway, then musically, coming from where you're coming from. You're coming from here.
Uh-huh.
Well, she was working on her first solo record at the time with another guy, and I was just getting into songwriting, I guess, from a distance, still trying to play bass, learn major scales and shit. But we started to write together after that in 95, 96.
Yep.
And we finished our first CD, and actually our first CD release party, Toshi showed up with Jeff Babko, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Did I?
Yeah, you came to the CD. You came to the CD release party, and after that, he played for us.
I did.
Yes. So we did something good there.
Right. So we've known each other for the last 20
years.
Yeah.
Years.
Yeah.
And I did the gig with them back then. I really loved the songs, so I wanted to play with them. So, but I met you in front of the Café Cordial. Remember that place?
Very well.
We didn't know each other. We just sat down.
I met you at Café Cordial.
Right.
Yeah. With Triple Scale.
Who?
Triple Scale.
That's right. He did. But we didn't know each other. We just sat down and started talking about, I have to play this guy. With, you know, with Jürgen. So it turned out to be the best bass player. You know?
Aww.
Some great songwriter, you know, great mixer, engineer.
It's just, there's smoke in the room here.
No, it's most, one of the most trustful musician and friend, these two. Mm. And Minnie, I can throw out her my songs and she can just does it. And just, it's not easy, but her pitch is like right on. And
yeah, like, I noticed that.
I don't have to worry about that department, you know, if she's there. So,
but it's really interesting, the versatility, because the Buzz Wizards, that stuff gets pretty hairy, some of the things that are going on, and you're singing against, we're literally harmonically opposed, you're going, you're literally playing counter to each other, and it's, that's tough.
Yeah.
That's tough, the whole pitch, when you're intentionally creating a dissonance, and it's...
And he's the one that mixing my albums.
He mixed the Buzz
Wizards? Yeah, two of them, right?
Two, yeah.
Oh, three.
No, one studio record and one live record.
And the live record, yeah.
So he's the man. So.
The man who can.
What's harder to mix, the Buzz Wizards or Little Days?
Well, Buzz Wizard, I didn't record, so it's always harder to mix something that you're not familiar with, the tones and stuff. It takes a while. But I usually run that to tape, too, just to get familiar. And it's time-consuming, but it's the only way I have fun doing it.
So what tape machine do you use?
For multitrack, it's an 820 Studer, 24-track.
24-track. And what tape do you use, or is there only one left?
Well, you can reuse a bunch of stuff, like 499s or GP9. And for mixing, I like 456, but it's impossible to find old reels. You can find one now and then that sounds okay.
Yeah, but I mean, can you find one that actually hasn't deteriorated?
Yeah, you can.
Really?
But you can't find enough for a full record. Like, you need 20 reels if you're going to do multiple mixes.
Right, right.
30 IPs or something. If you run 15.
Are you running 30 or 15?
For this project, I've been doing 30 on both ends, on the multitrack and the quarter inch. The last rock record I did was 15 on both ends.
So you're mixing to, you mixed a quarter inch two track, or have you ever tried mixing the half inch?
No. Well, I have, but not me in my studio.
You don't see the need?
I do, but I just don't see the need of spending $14,000 on a half inch machine at the moment.
Yeah, no.
But I do love the sound on a quarter
inch. You can hear the difference. I mean, there is a, at least I've noticed it.
There's a better mid range, and especially the machine I have, an MCI. It's spectacular mid range.
Mm-hmm. You'll hear, and then also at 30, you
on ABBA records and Bee Gees records.
At 30 inches per second, also too, it naturally, the bass is, it's not as pronounced as at 15. It rolls it off a little bit on the bottom.
Yeah,
so you get that natural.
As our friend Steve Holroyd would say, good bass management.
Yes, yeah. Which makes it easier because this new record that's going to be coming out. Some of the stuff that we're playing right now, that's going to be released on vinyl too.
Yes.
We were talking a little bit before the show about that, the issues with vinyl and stuff like that. You can't have the bass. A lot of people record digitally, and there's no, they'll record bass, and it's you got to watch those levels on digital. On a CD, you can get away with certain things, but on a record, you have to be careful because that little nut, that needle will just pop away. It's interesting. Let's play another clip. Let's play another one. And this one, I think, is... I want to ask you... I'm going to play it, and then I'm going to ask you some questions. This is called Catching Rainbows.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let me play this, and then we'll take a look at what they did in it. Because this is another one where there's some really interesting stuff going on here. And as I understand, you're playing all the guitars and the basses on this.
Yeah, I guess...
Yeah,
that's what happened.
Okay,
that's what happened.
That's what happened. But it's interesting, and it's really
they couldn't
cool.
show up that day. So.
I mean, what you do on the guitar is pretty cool.
If I have a specific idea, I don't want to bother Toshi and tell him what to play. He's too good of a player to have been told what to play. So,
you know what he wants.
Yes.
Yeah, but not all the time. And if I know you know, he's a broad chapter, so.
Yeah, it's an interesting, it's interesting even with the buzzwords is how you complement each other, and there's an organic thing there that's happening. The way you guys work together, you know.
Yeah, they've known each other and played together for many, many years. So they.
You just know what to do, which is very cool.
Mm-hmm. Well, avoid the bad notes and.
All right, let me go ahead and this is Catching Rainbows. Check this out. Now, that part I cut right where the little lead is. That to me sounded like either a baritone guitar or a bass. But you said that was a guitar.
It's an acoustic Yamaha, plastic.
Yeah.
Really cheap.
How did you get it so deep? Did you detune it, or did you just
use an M49 on the amp? Picks up all the bottom end available, and then EQ it a little bit with that.
So you ran the acoustic guitar through that. That mm-hmm. amp,
yeah,
and then that special miking,
yeah,
that is amazing. I mean, it sounds deep. It doesn't sound like a normal guitar.
Yeah, there's also a stereo spring reverb mm-hmm. on it.
It's a great sound, and then all the other guitars, the leads are great. I mean, you did some interesting. What did you use on the other stuff? Were you doing the double leads, and then you're doing a lead at the end?
Yeah,
that slide.
Yeah. Well, I had to compose it first, sort of the line, and then I had to figure out the harmony. And I spent a whole day on that solo and then try to get it in pitch. It was inspired by a few different things. It was Dean Parks from a Bread song with David Gates. I can't think of the title right now. Something with Love, like they all mm-hmm. all the Bread songs have. And then it's Warren Haynes, the slide that he recorded on another song for a band with harmony slide like that, and then also George Harrison.
Yeah, the slide. Yeah, had that feel.
Yeah, I'm not a good slide player, but I know what I want, so after 6 hours of doing the same thing, it usually turns out that you can.
what guitars were you using there?
That must have been the Strat.
All of that?
Fender
all
Strat through an Alessandro amp.
Oh, okay. Mm. And nothing, no pedals or anything, just the guitar straight.
Just the guitar.
Yeah. I heard a little bit of the ABBA influence because you had you do a chord thing with your voice.
Yeah.
Which is really cool. Yeah. Get up there.
And he, what do you do to make it like shimmery background vocals? He does like.
Well, back in the day, they used to duplicate the vocals for ABBA and but recorded in Dolby A, I think, and then play back without Dolby, and it's got this high, and they used to pitch the machine a little bit. But now with digital in Pro Tools, I just make a copy and detune it a little bit and shave it, and then, you know, kick in some 15K.
Yeah.
And then you get that shimmer.
It's really, it's got some top end on there. Is there any keyboards in there? I couldn't tell.
Yes.
I heard keyboards.
CP70.
Okay.
And synthesizer pads by Roger Manning Jr.
Mm-hmm. Roger Joseph Manning Jr.
Yeah. Incredible keyboard player. Yeah. He's played with Jellyfish and plays with Beck.
No, it's just great. I mean, another example of the layers and how complex it gets. I mean, you got a big sound, really big.
Sound for headphones.
Chris
listening.
Horvath did some strings in the background, too, and Mellotron stuff. So that
adds, Mellotron. Oh, okay.
Yeah, so all the background vocals are double in the background with the like cellos and stuff. But you're not supposed to hear it. You just feel it. And it creates to that thing.
I couldn't pick it out, but I'm presuming if you muted it,
that's
I would notice.
That's what's driving
it.
You crazy, because that's usually
trying
to dissect
like,
everything here.
What the hell is that?
That's what I was saying.
Yeah, and I double vocals with those bell sounds, too, just to get the shimmer behind the gong.
Just to get the bell in the song.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's on a mission.
The arrangement, very clever in terms of what you're doing in there. Now, I wanted to let you guys end with a song, but we're already out of time.
Oh, wow. And
so many more questions. This means you have to come back. Oh. And where are you guys playing? What's going? I also want to mention the Pledge Music campaign for this, so I'll let you guys.
Yeah, we're doing a Pledge Music campaign, and it's ongoing. We're shooting for an early spring release.
Are you going to release any singles or just the whole album?
Whole record, yeah.
Oh, you definitely have to do a whole record. There's just too much good stuff.
Yeah, it's going to be, unfortunately, the LP might not be able to fit all the songs that are going to be on the CD. So there's that to consider, and then we're going to have to, you know, pick those songs and the timing.
Have you decided what the name of the album's going to be?
No,
sure.
Yet. So,
you say
no. Pop and tacos.
Pop and tacos. Yes. Very cool. Very cool. I'm waiting for it. I can't.
T-shirts.
Huh?
You had t-shirts.
I have more love, more. Okay. More something and more tacos.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
So, did you want to mention who else plays on the album?
Well, we got a lot of people playing on the record. Let's see. So Steve Ferroni's playing drums on a bunch of songs, and Tos Panos is playing drums on the majority of the drums. Fern Sanchez, another drummer, he actually played drums on this song that we just heard.
Equal time to the drummers, huh?
Yeah. Well, I mean,
Eric Aldenius,
yeah.
Matt Apps.
They all kind of rotate into the live show, so.
Yeah. I mean, it's just
and
just
Steve plays in the Buzz Wizards too, so.
Yeah, there's like this pool of really amazing players that we can just. Are you available? And they'll go, yeah, and we're yes.
Toshi plays most guitars.
Yes.
And then we had a few guest people. Warren Haynes played on one track, and Mike Campbell played on one track. Through Steve Ferroni.
Yeah.
I was joking about it, and he was like, well, let me call him. So he did.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And he just showed up, listened to the song, and it just did his
We thing. Don't have time to play, but it's a very cool, very cool song. And he does some great stuff on it.
Yeah.
And then also, too, talk real quick about the gig coming up.
Oh, so Wednesday we're playing at the Baked Potato at 9 and 11. Two sets.
That's for LA people.
And it's this Wednesday on the 10th. Yeah, so all you LA people.
And then Buzz Wizards are going to be back at the Baked Potato on the 30th.
On the 30th, yes.
With all of you?
Jürgen will not be.
Again, he missed the last one, too.
Jerry's going to be.
But
Jerry Watts.
Incredible.
Jerry the alien. Awesome.
And November what?
November 10th, we're playing at in a festival. It's called... Fantasy Festival in Simi Valley, and that's It's two weekends. It's the 3rd and the 4th and then the 10th.
Is that Little Days or Buzzard?
Little Days is going to be playing. Yeah.
Little Days.
Yeah.
So there's a Facebook page and there's a Pledge Music page that Jeff is going to post along with the gig information on.
It is
Pledge, All About Guitar.
PledgeMusic.com/projects/little-days. And you can find out more about what Minnie's doing at www.minniediaz.com. And you can find out more about Jorgen at mule.net/band/Jorgen-Carlson.
He tricks us because he hates all that stuff, right?
And besides the Buzz Wizards gigs and playing with them, what's going on with you?
Me?
Besides, he lives at the Baked Potato.
Yeah, I play every first Monday of the month with the Jamie Keim group at the Potato.
We should get him in here, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to talk to him about that.
And Kimmel's going to go to New York next week. They'll be broadcast from Brooklyn.
So, my stomping grounds. Say hello to my dad.
Yeah. Hey, I'm just writing for next Buzz Wizards album. So, yeah, that'd be cool.
Is that the bell from your album? No.
It would work if you filter it.
That was perfectly timed. We could have never timed that.
Wait, time's up.
Yes. And October 30th at the Potato.
Yeah, October 30th, yes.
Come hang with us.
Yep,
okay.
Yep.
Thank you guys again
for
coming
having
down.
Us. Thank you,
really,
Lori.
A pleasure. And definitely have to come back when the album's all done and we'll go even more depth.
We're going to party.
Sure. Yeah.
So just write down what you used. Jorgen, you have to write down.
Yeah, I remember most of it. It's just under pressure. And it's a little foggy.
Lori, thank you so much putting this together.
It's great.
So what are you going to take us out with?
Okay, this one's called 2 Days for 10 Minutes. And it's my rebel song.
Okay. Everybody have a great week. We take it out with Little Days.
One, two.
Sometimes I feel like I'm falling into the center of the sun. I don't know. Sometimes I feel like I'm dancing to the rhythm of your drum.
I will not give in no more.
10 minutes, something to hold.